Assembly office. In collaboration with the People's Assembly, we host a community sing for anybody who's a freedom fighter, anybody who's willing to sing with us for the joy of singing, sing with us to transform their bodies, to do something with the feelings that living in oppressive conditions can leave you with, do something transformative with those feelings towards being whole. So we do this twice a month. The first is the People's Community Sing on the first Sunday of the month. And then the second, on the third Sunday of the month, we do what I call the People of Color Community Sing. And so Indigenous, Black, and Brown people are welcome to come to the People's Assembly office, again from 4 to 6. That's 1418 North Claiborne Avenue, right at the corner of Claiborne and Esplanade. And we do the same. We sing for each other. And you don't have to be able to sing to come.
Yeah. And so, how long have you been doing that?
You know, it started right after Trump came into office.
Oh, okay. So, and now you have a special one coming up.
Yeah, what happened is, so there's a special one coming up for April. Basically, my teacher is going to be leading a very special sing on Sunday, April 8th. Mm. Still from 4 to 6, but at SUNO, at the Millie Charles, the new Millie Charles building at SUNO, we're going to be in the auditorium. Because the thing, we usually have maybe 25 to 40 people would be a huge number at the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, we want 200 people
nice.
To come and raise their voices together. And part of why is because Izai, she loves working with infinite numbers of people. And she says that people will do amazing things when they think you can't hear them.
I can believe that. It's like the shower phenomenon.
Right. And so this is for people, not just people who can sing, but for people who do things to make our community better.
Mm.
You know, people who are always giving a lot. It doesn't have to be somebody who considers themselves an activist or an organizer, or someone who considers themselves a performer or an artist. But if you are somebody who takes care of your family, if you are somebody who teaches people what you know, if you're somebody who's always making a plate or making sure to say good morning and good evening, if you're someone who does things to make life better, you know, in these times, this is for you. You know, and we want to give it as an offering, you know, to people who give so much.
Yeah, and I know that you've done a lot of different things. I mean, you've been kind of that person in the community at different points, maybe. I don't know if you identify as that, but I see you as that. And I guess I'm just curious how you came to decide this is what you wanted to put your energy into, this kind of event.
Well, that's so funny because I don't know that I decided it. You know, maybe I agreed after it revealed itself. I don't know. You know, really how I started doing this is I've been, there are a few things. Like, I've been really angry about the material conditions of my life and the people around me. I don't like how it feels. I don't like being treated like I'm not a human being. And I don't like seeing the people around me get treated like trash and like we don't exist or matter. And it makes me feel really angry and just bad. And I was just feeling like I was sinking into a depression that I couldn't shake. I was fired from a job that just really hurt me. Really had me feeling low. And so I was feeling like these feelings are killing me. And I can't continue like this. So really, I don't know how to explain it exactly. I just found myself singing more. And I've always sung, not professionally, you know, not for pretty, like just to live, you know. And my family, we sang in school, we sang everywhere in my life. We sang in meetings. I grew up with just people singing. And so I found myself singing this song. Now I gotta sing it. It's Lord, Lord, I got her right. Oh, Lord, Lord, I got her right. Oh, Lord, Lord, I got her right. I got her right to the tree of life. Mm. And that song is, the person who I learned it from is Bernice Johnson Regan. And when she teaches it, she says that that's a radical statement because it's coming from enslaved people who, there's nothing in their material world that affirms that idea that they have a right to the tree of life. And so if they can say, I got a right to the tree of life, then that is extraordinary. You know, everybody has a right to the tree of life, you know, but no one is challenging Donald Trump's right to life. You know, there is no effort. you know, people may feel angry with him or upset about his policies, but there's no organized effort to eliminate his life like there is for so many people, you know. And so I feel like that song has so much succor for me, you know, because I'm not enslaved, you know. So these are people whose living conditions were worse than mine, and they can say that. So it helps me to believe that I can say it too. And so it's really that kind of singing. And me and my dad, we sing together a lot, and we've been spending more and more time together. And he's losing his memory, and so the songs actually are things that he remembers. And so we sing all these old songs together that we've been singing most of the time. And so I thought, well, let's just open it up. And so me and my dad spend time together, usually at 4 o'clock, because his wife likes to go to tennis at that time. So, and the People's Assembly is just down the street from his house. And they were always asking me to come and sing for meetings or rallies. And I was finding it harder to be flexible with my time with my dad to come whenever they called. And I didn't like saying no. And I really realized I don't just want to come sing. I want people to use the songs the same way I do and to understand this isn't just decoration for the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually something that can help us to tap into a source of power that we already have, you know, to do, that we can use to do what we need to do and to practice some of the things that it's useful to practice when you're trying to organize your power. So this is not about me as an individual singing. This is actually congregational singing. Just like we have to build as a group in the People's Assembly, this actually is a tool that helps us to automatically kind of be a group and forward some shared ideas, you know?
Yeah, and that's actually kind of what I wanted to ask you about.
Sorry, I'm just going
up. Oh, no, it's perfect. And I wanted to ask you about this idea of community, because you call it a community sing, and just what that means to you, what it's meant over time, and I'm sure that's enough for you to start.
Well, to me, one of the things I like to, you know, people have been coming now for a year, over a year, you know, and it's grown and grown. And our practice is when people come, people kind of trickle in. So we'll start small and then kind of balloon. So I have a practice of having people say their name and why they came. Mm. And I've noticed a pattern that people say, you know, I wanted to come and get some grounding for the next couple of weeks, or this was such a healing experience for me, or I you know, those kinds of things. And I was like, that is good, but it is actually a byproduct of people doing something that's actually very risky. I mean, people who can't sing or don't think they can sing, because actually people be singing, you know, people who think you can't sing, it's really scary. and so you have to take a risk kind of over and over again and put yourself out there in a way that leaves you very vulnerable with people you actually don't know what you share, and you know what I'm saying? Like, even among people who are progressive, there are sharp political differences and, you know, divides. And so it's a place where, as long as you are willing to reach towards scratching your North Star itch, as long as you are willing to take some risk in service to your own liberation, then we have a community of people who are doing something for themselves that benefits the people they are with. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so I love that about the sing. The sing is actually a very risky, risk-taking place. It is not a safe place. It is a place that people have to do something that's scary and challenging. And I really like that about the sing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the community that we are. That's what makes us freedom fighters, is that we are a community of people taking risks in service to freedom.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful way. I mean, would you also apply that to people who are thinking what is community in general, or how to build?
Yeah, you know, yeah. Like it's about having people showing up and charging the air with your life force. And doing that together so that we can really kind of light each other's souls, you know? I know that sounds so I don't know. It's real.
I believe you. I know what you mean, though. That's kind of what I was going to ask, too, because I'm just curious. I mean, we talk about people coming and saying that it was a healing experience, and like you're saying, that there's this soulful connection and just sort of bringing that spiritual dimension into political work. And I'm just curious what that's been like for you and how you understand it now.
Well, you know, I guess my work is about forwarding a set of values. And they're values that are simple. You know, it really all comes down to love. I don't like saying that too much because I don't think people understand what that is, you know. But that's actually, it comes down to values that are about loving who you are and sharing it. I'm not talking about like, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I'm talking about finding and developing ways to grow and in service to what grows more life. You know, that's and I'm talking about being and connecting with the source of creation. So love, respect, honoring who you come from, where you come from, the land that you work, recognizing that you are one part of a whole. These values are the values of my people, the values of people who've lived, who've survived being fugitives from the dominant culture, being, you know, people who've survived resisting what I call, well, really what bell hooks calls white supremacist, capitalist, imperialist, heteropatriarchy.
Mm-hmm. Say it again.
My people are people who have survived being in resistance to white supremacist, capitalist, heteropatriarchal imperialism.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, not just that we have resisted it, but we have survived resisting it. We have been able to celebrate life while resisting it. You know, we have built what our communities need while resisting it. So my work is actually doing things that forward those values. And so that looks a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's a story circle. Sometimes it's about really just getting myself to listen to the people I'm around and sharing what I hear and encouraging other people to do the same thing. Sometimes that's about finding ways to transgress the ways that power is arranged, you know, and to help rearrange it. Sometimes that's getting people, and sometimes you can do that by just getting people to sing.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
And charge the air with their life force, with the belief that might be pretty radical given the conditions that we're living through. Like, I got a right to the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a bunch of people saying, I got a right to the tree of life at the same time, then that's a we.
Mm.
You know, a we where nobody is hiding the way we might do in some coalitions, you know, but you're actually accountable when you say, I got a right to the tree of life with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Boy, Kezia.
And I want to ask you too, because you said you have one thing that is for everyone and one that's for POC. And I was just curious why it was important, or, you know, how it came to decide to do both. And
well, what happened was people who I would invite, because that's how people come, is I invite them. And I would think about people I want to sing with. And I would, and that just is based on how it feels. Tell you the truth, mm-hmm. It's not really a science. And some of the people I wanted to sing with were like, well, I don't like how it feels to sing these freedom songs, because that's what we sing. We sing freedom songs with people who are not indigenous or black or brown. You know, like, that I feel too vulnerable. It doesn't grow what I need. And so I was like, okay, well, more is more. Let's do one that's just for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm just curious, like, for people maybe that struggle with understanding that, you know, why there would need to be that difference.
Well, I think it's because, like I said, the sing requires you taking risks in service for liberation. Liberation for yourself and the people you're with. I don't know if I can answer that question. I mean, I think that if you don't understand why some people, why people of color might need to sing to each other, you know, without white people, then maybe you don't know what freedom songs can do, you know? And I think you, I don't know how to explain it. Do you? I mean, help me.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what I'm really trying to ask in that. I guess for some people, well, I mean, for white people, really, that get posed with these kinds of things, like, they, I mean, I guess there's some sense of exclusion or something, or that they are not, and if we're all supposed to be working together, then if there's something that's not for them, that's, I don't know. I mean, I can't exactly explain it either, but.
I don't know. I mean, I think, I think actually that's probably one of the questions for white people of our time,
mm-hmm.
you know, is like, how do you, if you feel excluded when people of color say that they need to gather for themselves, then what's in that?
Yeah.
You know, what is in that for you? You know, I think that's a good thing for people to study,
mm-hmm.
for themselves. You know, like, why is that? Why do you feel excluded? You know, and what do you want to do with those feelings of exclusion? And what does that have to do with the bigger problems that we all have to make a way through? I don't know if that's helpful to people, but that's what comes to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, if you have a problem with that, then you need to sit with that, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty clear.
Mm-hmm. But the people's community saying on the first Sunday, anybody can come.
Right.
And I only have one rule, actually, and that is everybody has to be respectful, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's according to what I think is respectful. You know, and pretty much everything else we can handle. Mm-hmm. And the thing does have a politic, you know, and the politic of the thing is that we, like the People's Assembly, resist what harms us, and we work to build what working class people need, you know. So if you want to defend the superiority of whiteness, then the thing is not actually the place for you, you know.
Yeah. And I guess, speaking of that, I'm always curious to hear, because as you've been born and raised here, and you're in New Orleans now, just sort of what you see going on in the city, and if you have any hopes or, yeah, mostly hopes, I guess, towards the future.
Yeah, I really do. I think that the things that young people are doing just really inspires me. I just heard about kids from Rethink, young people from Rethink, who had a action over at the school board the other day, and that's inspiring to me.
What did they do?
I don't know all of the details. I believe that they wrote on the building.
Oh, wow.
With dry erase marker.
Nice.
What their demands are of the school board. And they were simple things like, we need to be taught our history, you know, and we need to be taught our history by Black people. You know, the people of color should have some say in the curriculum development. I mean, they were just really simple things that made a lot, you know, made a lot of sense. So I thought their demands were reasonable. And what I want, what we need for, you know, a thriving community. I support the People's Assembly. I think that they're doing amazing work. They do these women's dinners once a month now. I think the first Wednesday of the month, I think. And I love that. And I learned from them that Women's History Month, like Women's Month, was actually Working Women's Month. That's how it started. You know, this was organized by working class women, which makes a difference, because, you know, it makes it clear that you're talking about a relationship to labor, I think, and how people are valued. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that actually doesn't just benefit people who are assigned to women or who identify as women. That benefits everybody. You know, when you can recognize the inherent value of people who've been assigned no value. So I love what the People's Assembly is doing. I really appreciate, actually, what Take 'Em Down NOLA is doing. I think that they are showing us that we can't have symbols that celebrate values that treat some people like they're disposable. You know, we can, and I love what Paper Monuments is doing. How they're like, yeah, we can celebrate people and values that represent the values of the truth of who we are. I love that. I've been learning so much from seeing those posters up and around. And sometimes they're like covering whole sides of the building on my corner. And then this is just a quirky thing. I love, there's somebody who's knitting the most fun stuff.
Yeah.
Like on the there's this telephone.
Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah.
By my house. That's always covered with some kind of, they'll turn the telephone booth into an aquarium. You know? Yeah. Or just knit all of the parts of the telephone booth. So it's been like a knitted telephone booth.
Yeah.
I love seeing that. I love what Mama Setua is doing. There's that and Dolphinette. They've been working with women who have been incarcerated, who are telling their own stories, and now organizing to make sure that nobody has to die in prison, you know, and to end incarceration. I love seeing what my dad's wife is doing. And so many people I've met like her who are caring for loved ones. Her name is Bertha Regas O'Neill. And she just gives me hope. She's so loving and patient and shows me how I wish every person was treated. She's changed my life watching her care for my dad. You know, like, I just see beauty everywhere. And it makes my spirit smile. All of these women, we're doing like 7 events with Dr. Barnwell between yesterday and April 10th. And there are 14 of us on what we call a heart team that are doing this, and they are an amazing collection of people. It's everybody from my mom, who's now a breast cancer survivor, to in her 70s, to Antoinette, who's a banker, to Angela, who is a school principal, you know, to Nikki, who is an incredible priestess of a chef, you know. Ayana Molina is doing a play about her life tonight. And I love her because I feel like she's a local woman who's always speaking for the inherent value of Black women. And she and Brother Shaq.
Yeah, we had them here a couple weeks ago.
Yes,
it was awesome.
To see the show tonight.
Yeah,
Cafe Istanbul.
Yeah,
I mean, there's just so much. What else? Radnika. Do you know about Radnika?
I do, but tell them.
Okay, Radnika is a woman who, you know, she just saw the police mistreating a woman with a baby as she was driving home from work, and she stopped to get the baby so that the baby wouldn't be hurt while this was happening. And she told the police, "You shouldn't treat her this way. She's a human being. You can't treat her like she's not a human being." And as the result of that, she has been charged with assault and battery of an officer, because she did something all of us should do. Every one of us, when we see someone treating someone like they're not a human being, should stop and tell them and do what we can to make it stop, and help them be different. And so she's been facing these charges that are trumped up charges. For over a year, she's been dealing with going to court to address this. And she's done the most amazing thing. of gathering us to come and sing with her on the steps of the courthouse after each court event.
Mm.
And she's also invited people to come and watch what happens in the court. And do you know, people have been there for over a year.
Mm.
And I believe it's a big part of why she's not just being totally railroaded. So Rodnika, she comes to our sing.
Nice.
And some people from Rethink have come to our sing. And people from the People's Assembly, they host us.
Mm-hmm.
They come to our sing. They're actually at much of the core of the sing. And so this guy, Alfredo, I can't remember your last name. But he has been one of the most diligent leaders of the Congresso, the Congress of Day Laborers. I'm so impressed with his commitment, you know.
Yeah.
His commitment.
Yeah.
And his accountability and clarity of purpose. So he organizes in some really trying conditions. And they have been able to do amazing things.
Yeah, I mean, I asked you what gave you hope, and I'm amazed by the list of so many incredible things. And I guess I'm just curious, too, just for you personally, like, I mean, I know you have this thing going on, and, like, if you have a message for people that are maybe involved in these different things that are losing a little bit of hope, or even people that just kind of look from the outside and don't necessarily see the beauty that you see.
Well, there's a lot that's not beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think people have good reason not to feel hope. But to me, that in and of itself, when you feel hopeless, is one of the best reasons to find hope. I find that inspiring.
Make that connection for people.
You know, no, I'm serious. You know,
yeah.
Like when
yeah,
when stuff is bad, and you know, that's when I need hope the most, and it's that need for it that makes me look for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's when I happen to see, you know, I live next to a building that has vines growing all up through it. And I'm just, and that's when I notice, oh, wow, these vines are growing through bricks.
Mm.
And they're these beautiful yellow trumpet flowers at this time of year. And they're there even at night.
Mm.
You know, like when there's no sun.
Mm.
And I find that very hopeful. And it's like little messages, you know, through my depression, like some of the deepest depression in my life. And when, I mean, like my mom was fighting cancer for the last couple of years, and I would find it really hopeful. Like, she refused to take pain medication because she wanted to know what was happening in her body so that she could gauge when something was wrong.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, when big changes happen. And having that kind of commitment to your own wholeness, it wasn't like that. Makes me hopeful.
Yeah, and, no, definitely.
And it makes me want to meet. Like, I know so many people who have managed through murder and their loved ones being murdered, you know, and have found ways. My friend Shayna Turner, like, her brother was murdered, brutally murdered. And she and her mother have found ways to turn that into healing in their community. Mm-hmm. They've recognized that their family and the families they're with are living through the violence of poverty, the violence of the policies of the state, you know, and how you have to just make a way out of no way. And they have figured out this circle practice that has brought a measure of healing and wholeness to their community, you know, learning from some of the practices of indigenous people, and just the survival tools of the people in their community. And that makes me feel really hopeful that and want to meet that kind of output.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's hopeful, if that inspires other people. I'm just, that's what inspires me.
Totally.
Like, the conditions are unacceptable. And I just cannot live with it. So it makes me unable to be still until I find something that I can do to make it better. And like I say, for me, it really started with just singing. And I think singing is powerful because it's like breath work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like breathing and affirmation. So, you know?
Yeah.
And it's ancient technology, you know, that really transforms. Literally, you are different when you move breath through your body.
Mm.
And when you put out certain vibrations, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, literally resonate with certain vibrations in your body. And you are different after you do that. And that helps me to see differently, which helps me to be more open to things that are hopeful.
Mm.
And recognize that I actually have what I need inside of me. I don't have to buy anything. I don't have to be something that I'm not. I have everything that I need inside of me to do whatever I need. My dad is, you know, he's losing his memory, but he's really profound. And he always says these things. Like, lately, he's been saying, you know, we have to fight until we win, you know, and we have to get stronger to do better. And if you don't, like, there is no, I don't mean hurt yourself. I mean, like, so you set a goal, you don't meet the goal, okay, but you're a quarter of an inch further than you were before you set the goal. And so now you do it again. And maybe you fall 2 inches further back. Okay, now you do it again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you just keep going until you die. And then when you die, you make sure that your body falls over in a way that causes some trouble for people who need to be interrupted. And then when your body dissolves to dust,
yeah,
you make sure that your dust is tickling, itching the nose of somebody who needs to be
the right allergens itchy. In the right place.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you just keep going.
Yeah.
Forever.
Mm.
Until we win.
Sounds like hope to me. It really does. And it's such a pleasure to be with you. I'm just going to go over really quick these events here so people can know. The Community Sing, it happens on the first Sunday for everyone, mm-hmm. the third Sunday mm-hmm. for POC, and then on Saturday, April 7th from 9:30 to 3 at White Buffalo, 8539 Willow Street, Building a Vocal Community, Singing in the African American Tradition.
Yeah, it's an all-day workshop.
All day.
With my teacher.
Right. And you say, Yasei?
Issei
Barnwell. And then that night at 8 o'clock, What is the Sound of Freedom? It's going to be Dr. Courtney Bryan, Patricia Parker, William Parker, Issei Barnwell, and Dr. Tyshawn Sori.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happening here at Tulane.
Yeah.
At the Dixon Hall 102. That's next Saturday. And then it's the big sing. We're going to have infinite people at SUNO on Dr. Millie Charles Hall, 6400 Press Drive. And that's the real big event.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to get as many people as we can.
Yes.
And I'm really, really glad you were able to come in and give us all of that good information.
Oh, thank you, Keith.
Yeah.
That wasn't as hard as I thought.
No. It's even a little bit fun. All right. Have a good one. Awesome.
Thanks, Kezia.
Yeah, definitely.
That wasn't hard.
No, it's not so bad. And I just recorded it on the phone.